1 year anniversary today. Praise God for that. Last Mother's Day, they opened up their first service, and now they're running over 300 people every single week where they come together and worship when we give the message. But they have a whole campus there, and God has just used your generosity, your prayers, your support to expand the kingdom of God in that area. So thank you so much. Come on, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we go into today's sermon, we pray that the sermon would get into us. Use it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Together, everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, we definitely celebrate mothers today, and we celebrate all the wisdom and the warnings that moms give us over these years. You know, warnings like, if you fall out of that tree and break both of your legs, don't come running home to me. Wait, what? Yeah, great wisdom, great warnings. Or, you know, when you listen to your mom, you realize that moms just have insight sometimes that we don't have. And so we're just so grateful for the wisdom that comes from moms. In fact, I saw a graphic not long ago. I put it up, a cartoon where the brother saying to the sister, looking in mom's closet, see, I told you, that's how she does it. Happy Mother's Day, super moms. It's like they have an S on their chest and the clothes under them. Super moms everywhere. Well, today I want to talk to you about motherhood from God's perspective. And I'm going to come to you from the Ten Commandments. Do you know there's one of the commandments that speaks to motherhood? Do you know what it is? That's right. Honor your father and your mother. You know that one, right? Where are the Ten Commandments found? Old Testament or New Testament? Old Testament, that's right. And what book of the Bible would you find the Ten Commandments? Anybody know? Exodus chapter what? Chapter 20, that's right. And so if in Exodus chapter 20 in the Old Testament, honor thy father and mother is what it says. Who knows out of the Ten Commandments what command it is? Number four? Anybody else? Number five? Number three? Two, one, yeah, okay. So anyway, bottom line is it's number five, and this is what it says. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. That's Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And it is commandment number five, and in light of it being number five, I'm going to give you five observations that arise from this verse with regard to honoring your father and your mother to help us understand motherhood from God's perspective. And we don't have to go any further than this verse right here to find the five observations. In fact, let me give you the first one now. It says, honor your father and your mother. First observation, the link. The link. The link is in the word and. That conjunction that builds it together. In other words, you're supposed to honor your father and your mother. In other words, motherhood is not supposed to be separated from fatherhood. And fatherhood is not supposed to be separated from motherhood. God's design and God's desire is for a father and a mother to come together. But we know because of the fall back in the Garden of Eden, because of sin in our lives, and because the real being real about what's going on in our world, the reality is that even though that's God's ideal and that's God's design and that's God's desire, sometimes mothers raise kids without a father. Sometimes fathers raise kids without a mother. Some moms raise kids alone due to death, maybe because of divorce, or maybe sex outside of marriage. That's never God's design. He never designed us to die, but this is the effects of sin, or to separate what God has joined together in marriage, or sex outside of marriage. And yet this is the world we live in. And at Bridgeway, we always say, you know, God has the ideal, but we live in the real. So how do we address and meet us in the real, but help keep pointing us toward the ideal? We don't just redefine the ideal or throw the ideal out like it doesn't matter. No, we still look at the ideal, but we say, but this is the real. So how do I honor God in the real? But it's true that many moms, as well as dads, but it's Mother's Day today, many moms raise kids and they're doing the work of two parents. Now, if you've heard me preach on Mother's Day, Father's Day, I'll say it again today. A mother cannot be a father. If you grow up and you don't have a father in your life, that's a daddy deficit. God makes up for deficits, but mothers can't be fathers. However, There are a lot of mothers who do a lot of work, the work of two parents. It's not that she's trying to be a father. It's just work. It takes a couple parents to raise kids. And so that means taking out the trash, mowing the lawn, and making the lunches, and going to work to pay. And so that's a lot of work. So single moms who are doing the work of two parents, we need to give some honor there. Can we give it up for the single moms who have done such great work, hard work, in raising children? But as a result of the breakup and the breakdown of the family, which does have a negative impact on society, the church is here to help those who are dealing with different challenges in life and to help repair and take up some of the slack that happens in a society where the family is breaking down. But listen, even moms who are married don't always have it easy. It's not like, okay, so if I'm married, then I'm not going to have a problem with my kids. No, marriage is not easy either. And so you're dealing with raising children, and sometimes you're dealing with being married to a man, and it's not always easy. In fact, I saw this other picture. Let me put it up for you to just give you an idea of what we're talking about when we talk about marriage. They've been together 75 years. She's been fed up for at least 50. So again, it doesn't necessarily mean that marriage solves all the problems, but God's best design, the best ideal, is that a father and a mother come together. And so there you have the first observation, and that is the link. But then we also have the second observation. We'll call that the length. The length. Notice what the text says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land. Living long, the length of days. This is the only command that comes with a promise. This is the only command that comes with a blessing. And it's talking about not only the quantity of life, but also the quality of life. That when you have honoring people who honor their mothers and honor their fathers, they will live long on the earth, and you'll have a better chance at living a good life, not merely an average existence. God promises, love and honor your father and mother, and your days will be long on the earth. We've noticed two observations out of five. The link, the length. Here's the third one, the land. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land. And they were talking about specific land there, but even as you expand the idea of land, land was influence, land was wealth. And what the text is teaching us is when we follow God's command to honor our parents, then he will expand our territory and we will be stewards of great influence when we honor people. Honorable people should get more land. Honorable people should get more talents. When dishonorable people get more influence, we all suffer. When dishonorable people get more power, we all suffer. We all suffer when you have people who don't know how to honor their parents, they don't know how to honor one another, they don't know how to honor people who are different than them, and when they are dishonorable, their influence causes all of us to suffer and just leads into division and chaos. And God is saying, I want to raise a generation of honorable people. And that honor begins at home. You're not going to know how to honor other people until you learn how to honor your parents. But you can see those that have learned how to honor their parents can live in a land where their influence is great. And when you have good influence, you can steward your power in such a way that honors God and blesses the land. God will expand your territory. Are you a good steward of all that God has given you? And by the way, you know, dishonorable people cause us to suffer when they don't know how to honor their own parents or honor other people around them. But there's nothing worse than seeing somebody dishonor their mother. There just seems to be nothing worse than that. Me and a few guys were talking this week, and we agreed that we'd rather see two guys fighting, beating each other down, than to see somebody treat his mother badly. I mean, there's just something wrong with that. It grades against every natural inclination to see somebody who's just mean to their mother. And by the way, if you happen to be, I agree with you, son. I agree with you, daughter. I know, that's my point. You never should be mean to your mother or your grandma. Let's give the baby and mama and grandmama and the rest of the families a great big hand. At least they made it to church today. But listen, if you find somebody that's mean to a mother, can I tell you? Here, listen to this. If you're dating a dude who's mean to his mama, you need to stop dating him. If you're in middle school and you're dating a boy, if you're in high school and you're dating a boy, if you're in college or you're an adult, if you're dating a guy and he's mean to his mother, that's not the one for you. Because if you marry him, you're going to get what she got when he gets fed up with you. Don't marry a man that's mean to his mother. That's a sign. You talk to him later, they've been married. Why so mean? Why so abusive? How did he handle his mother? He was mean to her too. Then why did you marry him? Because he was so nice and kind to me. The clue phone is ringing and it's for you. If he is mean to his mother, do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Leave. Let him go. But I can change him. No, you can't. Let God change him. I'm just trying to give you a word of wisdom. You got to believe that these Ten Commandments are something that God put down because he knew it was good for you. Honor your father and your mother, and so that you may live long on the land. And when you are on the land, it's honorable people who know how to steward relationships. It's honorable people who know how to steward influence. It's honorable people who know how to steward the land. And God is saying, listen, honor your father. Honor your mother. Listen, do not marry somebody who doesn't know how to honor his mother. That's a clue. But as we talk about these observations, we've given 3 out of 5. Let me give you the fourth one. You find it right here because it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long on the land the Lord has given you. That is our fourth observation. It's the Lord. It takes the Lord to raise children. Some people try to raise the children without the Lord. You need all the help you can get. And the Lord is the one who gives you the land. The Lord is the one who gives you children. And children are a gift from the Lord. But it takes the Lord to help you raise your children, doesn't it? It takes the Lord to help you have divine insight to discern when they're trying to deceive you. I mean, mamas, they have some kind of intuition. I don't know where they get this intuition. My goodness. Mamas always know. And you wonder, how in the world did my mama know that? She doesn't always tell you what she know, but mamas always have an intuition to know when you up to something. They know when you're lying. They know when you're sneaking in, when you're sneaking out. Moms just have an intuition. But moms also realize that their intuition is not 100%, and so they can't raise children on their own. They need the Lord to help them because you can't always protect your kids. Even when they're babies, you think, well, I have control of them now because they're babies. And I'm just so happy for those that have dedicated their children today. Congratulations to you. Praise God that you were able to come to the house of the Lord and make a decision to raise your kids right. But these little rugrats, can I just tell you something? They're not always easy to handle, even when they're small little babies. When we had our firstborn, we laid him. I don't know if you ever wrap your kids up and you lay them in the middle of the bed, right? Because they can't roll to the left or roll to the left. And you just let them. We thought the kid was safe. And we're in there getting dressed and everything. Kids in the middle of the bed. And, you know, we have a cat. And, well, that one ain't living no more. Praise God. But we had a cat. And that cat ran across the bed and used my kid's face as a speed bump. Ran right across. It's like you can't even protect them when they're an infant. I always wondered what was wrong with that kid. Now I know it was the cat. But the cat ran right across his eye and just missed his eye and just got the eyelid. I just thought, my goodness, even when the kid's in our presence, we can't protect it. But even when they get older, you give them the keys and they drive the car and you're praying, Lord, please be with them. I mean, have you ever given them the keys? They get in the car, they drive away, and you get in your car and follow them just a couple blocks away? Has that ever happened? I'm not saying I did it. I'm just saying, did you? I'm trying to identify with the real in the house. Anybody real? You follow them a little bit? Anybody put a locator on their phone? Anybody? Yeah. I'm just wondering if anybody is whacked out like that, because you feel like you feel like they're going on a date and maybe you ought to chaperone from afar, from a distance. Well, you're trying to protect them. You know, one of the things we tell kids, look, you go out on a date, take the Bible with you. That'll solve a lot. Yeah, just even when you're driving, just put the Bible in between you and him. By the time he climb over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he'll be too tired to try anything. We just try anything we can to protect our kids. But the reality is we realize we can't protect them. We go to parties, we can't protect them. They go to parties, we can't protect them. We tell them, look, okay, you're going to that party. If you're going to go to the bathroom, take your drink with you. Don't leave your drink there, go to the bathroom and come back and drink it again. People crazy up in here. They be putting, look, okay, let me get back to my notes. Y'all act like you don't know what I'm talking about. If you know what I'm talking about, say amen. You cannot protect them everywhere. And you're praying that what you put in them stays in them. You pray they ain't stupid. You pray they don't get dumb all of a sudden. When they meet a man or when they meet a girl, you pray that they keep their mind after midnight. You pray that somehow they'll make it home. Some of y'all can't even sleep until they get home. Even if it's 2 a.m, they tiptoeing in. And you say, what you doing? And they say, why are you awake? Because I couldn't sleep till you got home. That's why. You can't protect them. And so you need the Lord because he can be everywhere at every time in every situation. Fine, go ahead and do you. But I'm about to throw a prayer in there so the Holy Spirit going to frustrate every plan of the enemy. So you go right ahead. Do what you think you want to do. I'm going to be on my knees and pray that the Spirit of God would thwart every plan. I'm going to hold on to the passage that says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. The weapon can form. But it's not going to prosper because my prayers are going to cut right in the middle of your mess. So I trust that my God can protect my children when I can't be there. That my God can dispatch an angel to concerning him and concerning her. I got a God that can be every place, every time. I got a God who will meet my children wherever they are, at any time, anywhere, in any place. I'm going to go to sleep in peace because I believe Psalm 46:10, which says, be still and know that I am God. You are God and I am not. You love my kids more than I do. So protect them, Lord. Keep them, God. And the reality is some of y'all wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a mother or a grandmother or a great-grandmother who knew how to pray. You thought it was because you were smart. You thought it was because you were gifted. You thought it was because you was good looking. No, it's because you had a mother or a grandmother or a great-grandmother who knew how to pray for you even when you was acting a fool. This is why Paul says to Timothy, his young pastor disciple, he says in 2 Timothy 1:5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you also. The sincere faith that was passed down to Pastor Timothy came from his mother, that came from his mother's mother. In other words, the best thing you can pass on to your children is a sincere faith. There are other things you can pass on, but a sincere faith is what you can pass on from generation to generation. And thank God that some of you are where you are today because of the prayers of a godly woman, a godly grandmother, a great grandmother. But that's not any of my observations. I said there are 5. I've given you 4. Here's the 5th one. You might not see it exactly in the verse that we've been looking at, but I'm going to promise you it's there. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. We talked about the link, the length, the land, and the Lord, but there's one more. It also begins with an L. Anybody know what it is? The love. He said, well, where's the love in the passage? Well, you see, you've got to come at this a little bit backwards. In the New Testament, Jesus was asked, what is the greatest command? And Jesus said this in Matthew 22. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And it says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Now, what Jesus is doing, when they're asking him about the greatest commandment, we find it in this passage and several other passages in the gospel, that what Jesus is doing is talking about the Ten Commandments. What Jesus does is he says, listen, if you were to take all the commands, the Ten Commandments, and if you were to take all the other laws from the prophets, over 623 of them, if you take all of that and sum it up to one, Jesus says, there's only one with two parts. Love God and love people. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. And you can sum up all of the Ten Commandments in this single command with two parts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's the Ten Commandments. Love God, love people. Just like the cross. It's got a vertical beam and it's got a horizontal beam. The vertical beam, love God. The horizontal beam, love others. That's the Ten Commandments. Now, when you look at the Ten Commandments, we said that the verse we're looking at, honor thy father and mother, is the fifth command. You see, the first four of the Ten Commandments are the love God piece. The last six, the second half of the Ten Commandments, is the love others piece. So he takes the Ten Commandments, breaks it into two. Love God, love others. The first four commands is all about God. The next six commands are all about people. And the first command of the second category to love people is this one. Honor your father and mother. Why? Because love must first start at home. The command to love others first starts at home. A father and a mother, the two become one flesh. Now, when you read the two become one flesh, people are confused by it. It doesn't mean two people become one person. That doesn't work. In fact, that usually ruins a relationship. When I'm trying to make you like me, you trying to make me like you, and then we use the Bible to spiritualize and say, yeah, but the two of us are supposed to be one. No, the two of you are not one. You're two people. And when you're married, you're still two people. You're not one flesh with the other person. You're still two different people. Now, you can be one in purpose and one in unity, but the passage makes it pretty clear when you begin to look at it sensibly. A person leaves their father and their mother, and they cleave together, and they become one flesh. The two people come together, and then they have a child. That child is the one flesh that represents the constitution of two different people. The two come together as one, and then they give birth to another one. That's the one flesh. That Mohican represents both you, the father, and the mother. And when they acting like a fool, it's because it represents the other parent, not you. But when they're doing successful and everybody's proud of them, that's because it's your child. That's my boy. That's my girl. They acting like a fool. That's your kid. You need to deal with your child. Why do they say that? All of a sudden, it's your child. You need to deal with your son. What? Wait, what? And then something good happens. Oh, that's my son. What? Wait, what? No. But what's happened is the two become one flesh. This was God's desire and God's design. And that one would honor both mom and dad, and that a loving family would build a loving community, and a loving community would build a loving society. But when the family's broken up, messed up, society gets broken up and messed up. And this is one of the purposes that God created the church, not just as a body, but as a family. And because there's a lot of love missing at home, The church and the community must be there to help the brokenness that stems from injured family units, because it's fallen so far away from God's ideal. So this is why we have our church, because we're supposed to be there to support one another, to help families know that we'll be there to help you, to serve and bridge kids, to come up with ways that we can support one another. I want to give you some practical applications that may help you if you want to be connected to the Bridgeway family, because our church is made up of families. Singles with no kids, singles with kids, couples, divorced folk, remarried folk, older folk, younger folk. I mean, one of the things that blessed my heart last week was when we actually had all five generations stand. Do you remember that? Everybody that was like born 1996 and after, or 1946 and before. And what blessed my heart was that each one of those five groups, you know, baby busters, baby boomers, Generation X, Y, Z, all that, all of them stood up, and we had everybody represented. And it was just so beautiful to know we're not just a multicultural church, we're a multi-generational church. And that's what God desires, is that we lean on one another regardless of our age and stage in life. So if you want to get more connected to build family and community in your life, here are a couple of things you can do. First of all, join or lead a life group. Join or lead a life group in your home or here at the church. A life group is just a smaller group of folk from the church that get together in a neighborhood or somewhere in a zip code. And they're groups that, you know, meet in D.C. or in Baltimore, in Western Howard County, in Laurel and Silver Spring. You say, you know what, I wouldn't mind joining a group where I can meet once a week or once every 2 weeks or two, three times a month, and some meet here at the church. Why not? That's how you get connected. That's how we support one another. And so maybe you'd consider that. You say, well, I don't know if I want to join one. Well, guess what? You can lead one. Let us teach you how to lead one. Or, you know, what you could do is you could, if you have a nice house, you know, maybe a great apartment or condominium or townhome, or maybe a nice single family home, you say, you know what? I'm going to offer my home to host a life group. I mean, I don't need to lead it. Somebody else can lead it and assemble everything. But you know what? I can be a great host. And I can let somebody, you know, on Thursday nights or every Sunday afternoon or a couple times a month on a Saturday, whatever, use my home. I'd like to be a part of that. God bless me with this home. That's something you can do. That's what creates family. Or join a ministry that you can connect with, like Bridge Kids or our youth ministry on Wednesday night. We have Wednesday Night Alive for middle schoolers and for high schoolers. Or the ministry called Leverage. I love the Leverage ministry because of what I hear from some of the young people who are in their 20s. They get together like on Sunday afternoons. And they get together here, I believe, at the church, and they talk about the sermons. And they get together to try to inspire one another. You've got the mix. These are people who are single, 30 years and older, or even we have a 50-plus ministry, you know, that gets together regularly. So some of our senior saints, and some of them meet during the day, and then they go home and go to sleep by 7. So it doesn't matter what part, but they get up at 4 and pray together. It all works out fine, but these are groups so you can get together, and you can find out how to get a hold of these groups. You go online and click around, figure that out, or you can stop by the Volunteer Connections table out there, and they can help you with it, or the information table to help you with it. And, you know, let me just say another way that you can get connected is to serve. Serve in a ministry, because when you're serving, you're working shoulder to shoulder with other people, you know, and you get to know them, they get to know you, and it also helps the body of Christ. And for single people who don't have kids, you know, one of the ways that you can serve mothers with children, whether married or not married, is by keeping their kids for a couple of hours. The operative term there is a couple of hours. But it would really bless a mom just to be away so they can, like, they can take a shower, they can go grocery shopping. You know, some of them just like, I just like to go to the bathroom without somebody around. I mean, seriously, have you ever heard any mothers say that? Just, they're always there. You can keep them for just a couple hours, and that would bless them. Now, of course, some of the single people right now in the congregation are just looking down like, no, please do not ask me. Do not ask me. I've seen your kids. But what I'm saying, it's just a couple of hours, and then you can give them back. But it's just a way that you can serve people. What I'd like to do, as we talked about these five observations, the link, the length, the land, the love, the Lord, and the love, is I'd like to end with a couple of letters of forgiveness and affirmation. Just to let everybody know that I don't know where you are with regard to your mom. Everybody's in a different place. Even though I lost my father when I was 21 years old, and that's always been sort of a hollow place inside of me, my mom is still alive and doing so well, and she's just beautiful. And you know, she's 85 and a half. She'll be 86 in November. And we're going to do today what we always do. Oh, thank you for that. I'm going to tell her you clapped for her. Because this afternoon, we're all going to get together, you know, as we always do, my two sisters, my brother, their kids and family, and everybody, we'll get together. And I know it's going to happen. It always happens. You know, we all are gregarious, and we're laughing, and we're eating, and everybody's talking. And it just seems so wonderful until the check comes. I mean, you think that we'd figure this out by now, but if for some reason, anybody else have this awkward moment, the check comes and it just sits there and everybody act like they don't know what to do? I mean, it's just amazing to me. Like, are we going to cut the check up? Are we going to mix it? It's like, why couldn't we think about this ahead of time? Who's going to take positive leadership and figure this out ahead of time? And you're like, David, why don't you? Because I'm the youngest. You keep telling me I'm the baby of the family. I'm the baby of the family right now. So when the check come, I just, you know, go down and tie my shoes and go to the bathroom. But you would think that we figured this out. But anyway, we're going to do it again this afternoon. And I'm going to laugh because I told all y'all about it. But I just feel like the older ones should settle this. You always want to be in charge every other time. Then the check come, all of a sudden, y'all like, oh, go ahead, brother. Okay, so... Yeah, I got the mic. Okay. So anyway, let me get back to my notes. Here's a letter of forgiveness for moms who have failed. So let's think of a child who writes a letter to the mom. Dear mom, my heart hurts every Mother's Day because everyone is celebrating how great their relationship is with their moms. I cannot fully celebrate because there's too much pain and hurt between us. Today I want to tell you that in spite of all you have done and said, and after all I've done and said, I want you to know that I am grateful for the life you gave me. I'm struggling to find words on a day like this to honor you in a way that you should be honored. But the one thing I can do is forgive you. So Mom, I want to say that today is the day I have chosen to do the hardest thing for me. Today, I am forgiving you. For all you did and all you didn't do, I forgive you. I know that I am not a perfect child either, but God forgave me my sins and failures. Today, in the name of Jesus and by faith, I forgive you. I love you and I am free to honor you with my words and my actions when appropriate. Lastly, Mom, I pray for you and pray for us. I'm asking God for a miracle in our relationship. May God touch your heart and accept both of our repentance. And now here's a letter from a failed mom to a child. Dear child, I am so sorry. I did the best I could, but honestly, sometimes I didn't do my best. At times I was selfish, weak, and hurting. My own areas of deficiency and brokenness got the best of me, and I wasn't there to love you like a mother should. I know that I have hurt you and failed you, and I am so sorry. Will you forgive me for my failings, flaws, and bad choices? There were times that I was just trying to survive myself. That is not an excuse. I know the pain I have caused you must make you think I don't love you. But deep in my heart, I love you insane. You are the one who deserves honor today for what I have done. You deserve more than an apology, dear child. Please pray for me, forgive me, and receive my sincerest apology. My prayer is that God will help me do better in the time we have left. Maybe your prayers will help. So there are a couple letters that may reflect your heart and your relationship that may be different with your mom than maybe others sitting around you. Now, remember at the top of the sermon when I had all the moms stand, all different kinds of moms, like birth moms and adoptive moms and grandmas, great-grandmas, stepmoms, godmoms. Remember all those? Well, I have a little word of affirmation, a short little letter that I want to mention to each one. The first is to birth moms, and this is to birth moms who did not raise me. Thank you for following through and carrying me all the way to birth. When you chose to birth me, you gave me a chance to live. Thank you, even if you didn't raise me. You gave me life, and as a result, each year I get to celebrate my birthday. And then to birth moms who did raise me, their children. Dear birth mom, the birth mom that raised me and birthed me, wow. Thank you for everything you have done to endure me as you raised me into a well-adjusted adult. Thank you for doing the best you could. That's why I'm so awesome. It's all because of you. Seriously, though, thank you for being patient, loving, and most of all, for being there. Now, to adoptive moms. Dear adoptive mom, thank you for choosing me. You are the only mother I truly know and love. You didn't have me by mistake. You actually wanted me and worked hard to get me. And for that, I am forever grateful. Thank you for raising me and taking a risk on me. I love you. To grandmas and great grandmas, dear grandma, what a privilege and joy it is to have you in my life. Many people don't have the privilege of grandmothers or great grandmothers. Thank you for your example, perseverance, and love for me. Thank you for choosing to spend time with me and for raising my mom and or dad. If it weren't for you, I wouldn't be here. I love you, Grandma. Now for stepmoms. Dear quote unquote stepmom, there is no step in our relationship except for the fact that you stepped up to love me and my child and my dad. We were somewhat a package deal, weren't we? But you still chose to stay. Thank you for being there for me and for choosing to love me, even when I may have said hurtful things like, you're not my mom. Well, today, I want to thank you for truly being a mother to me. Most of all, thanks for being a friend. Please take care of my dad. He really needs you. I love you. And here's the last one. Godmoms. Dear Godmoms, you have the greatest job of ever. You have the greatest job ever because you really don't have to do anything. Except support me when you can. Thank you for being trusted friends with my parents. Thank you for your prayers. It is good to know that I can lean on you if I need you. My parents trust you, and that is enough for me. Thanks for being there. You see, the reality is we all have different kinds of moms in different situations and seasons in life. But God teaches us that we're supposed to honor our father and our mother. But we also have the realistic view that our parents have never been perfect, and we as children are not perfect. But what we need to know from God's word is that there's only one perfect parent, and that's God the Father, who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He knows how to love you perfectly, and he cares about you more than anything. So don't ever build your life and your eternity on your parents. You obey them when you're a child. You honor them even when you're an adult, but you put your faith not in your parents. You put your faith in Almighty God, the perfect parent who created you. This is why we sung earlier, and this is why we say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is all other ground is sing my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid, is sinking sand. Can you all stand to your feet and let's go ahead and sing that chorus one more time. But this time as you sing it, would you make it a declaration that you're going to build your life on something that truly is the rock of ages. On Christ the solid, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. And all of Bridgeway said, Happy Mother's Day, Bridgeway.